I drove the bus, did the academics, did every scout, obviously practice plans, workouts, did the laundry, swept the floor, did the whole deal. And like I said earlier, you can't be above any job, any task.
On today's episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we're joined by Isaac Wodejo, the Director of Recruiting and Scouting for the Wisconsin Badgers. He began his coaching career as a GA at Texas before moving to Wabash Valley College, eventually returning there as head coach. Wodejo then stepped into the Division I world as the special assistant to the head coach at Northern Kentucky before joining Wisconsin, where he now plays a major role in roster building, scouting, and navigating the fast-changing landscape of college basketball. In this episode, we discuss how he stays organized and focused despite the chaos of roster turnover and the transfer portal, how he balances need versus best available talent in the recruiting process, and what his time as a head coach taught him in his current role. Please welcome to the podcast, Isaac Wodejo. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Welcome back, coaches. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your host, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Today, we're joined to be able to chop it up, talk a little more hoops. Nothing we love to do more than take a step away from hoops, talk about more hoops, right? That's just how things go. But today, we're graced to be able to sit down, talk with the Director of Recruiting and Scouting at the University of Wisconsin, Coach Isaac Wodejo. Coach, welcome to the podcast. What's going on?
How's it going? Appreciate you guys having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it, man. Thank you.
You got some unique things that we definitely want to talk about, but it's great to be able to just hear your side. You've definitely worked up the ranks a little bit. You've had various of different support roles, which will be definitely very good for people to learn about being a GA, being a special assistant, director of recruiting and scouting. I know you even had a little bit of a head coaching stint too, which would be cool to be able to like hear a little bit about that. Just going all the way back, as we mentioned, looking from the beginning of things, early in the career, as I know we were talking before we got on here, you were a GA at Texas. You worked under legendary coach Shaka Smart while you were there. Just what were some things that as a GA you really learned in those experiences, some like the details, some of just the things you picked from there that maybe you carry now as a coach?
It was a big time experience. I went in, just wanted to go in and soak up everything, hear everything, went in with big eyes and big ears and got to be around some great coaches. You mentioned Shaka Smart, but there was Darren Horn, who I worked for later at Northern Kentucky. He's the head coach there. Has a role in this year. I got to watch him a little bit last week. Jay Lucas, head coach of Miami now, and a bunch of assistants who are spread out at Marquette. One's at Virginia, a couple at Northern Kentucky. It was a big-time staff, obviously big-time players, Mo Bamba, Jackson Hayes, Jericho Sims, all of those guys. Coach Smart, he's what my foundation was built on. He was a guy who was all about consistency, work ethic. He would be in 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., that kind of thing, just being in the office and trying to get every advantage he could, whether it be relationships with the players, whether it be watching some film from last year, trying to get better at a different ball screen coverage, at using a ball screen, whatever it may be. He was just a big time for me, and he was so big on relationships that he used to sit down with the staff, with GAs. There was four GAs. He used to sit down and talk with us about how to be better coaches and asking us, what do we see? It was huge for me, just learning so much. I went in. I was only in coaching for a year before that. I was a high school coach at Milwaukee Riverside, where I played for one season. So to go from high school and to obviously jump to the high major level at the University of Texas with all those guys on staff, it was a huge, you don't know what you don't know. And I didn't know much at that time. it was huge for me. It was big time those 2 years.
How did that come about? Because I think that's probably one of the biggest questions that me and Doug get with Rising Coaches. And sometimes people walk away from me and I, they'll see us at the Final Four, maybe ask us questions about, I want to get to this level. How do I do it? And I'm like, I don't know if there's a real formula I can hand to you because everybody's journey is so different. So you got to, everybody's got to run their own race with that stuff. But for you, how did that leap or that transition come about?
Yeah, so it actually started here, actually, at Wisconsin. I worked camps back after I graduated college. So I worked camps here with, it was when Coach Bo Ryan was the head coach. Coach Guard, the head coach now, was the associate head coach. And we had Lamont Paris on staff, who's South Carolina's head coach now. So I worked with all those guys at camps and just stayed in touch, stayed connected with them. And at that time, after I graduated from college, I worked at a financial group in Milwaukee, where I'm from originally. And that's when I started coaching in high school. And I just started contacting a bunch of schools, kind of cold emailing, just putting my name out there, getting in contact with a bunch of schools. And it was actually Coach Denny Kuiper, if you remember him from Texas. He was a special assistant to Coach Smart.
I
stayed in contact with him for about a year. And come to find out, Coach Paris worked with Coach Smart when they were young assistants back at Akron. So that's how the connection came together, was Coach Paris called Coach Smart. And obviously I was talking to Coach Kuiper already. So everything aligned, and I ended up getting hired. It was early May when I got hired. And then I ended up moving a month later in June for summer workouts. So I was at Texas. It happened fast. I packed up all my stuff. Couldn't miss that kind of opportunity.
Wow. I got to tell you, man, that's old school, because you don't really hear about guys working camps as much anymore. Maybe just because of the AU stuff, kids don't go to camps as much anymore like they used to. So as a result, camps aren't as big, but that's the old school way, man. That's the way a lot of guys used to do it. That's going from the bottom. What's cool about that, one more question, like when you were doing the financial stuff, how long were you doing that before you were like,
I got to get out. We've all been there.
It's always that moment of truth.
No doubt.
Was it pretty quickly as you were doing it, or was it kind of like 6 months you're into it and then you're like, you know what, I got to stoke this competitive fire somehow?
Yeah, for sure. It was probably 2 to 3 months is when I realized I don't want to go into the office and do a 9 to 5. I think that's what it was. And what helped with that was the high school in Milwaukee that I went to. I got to go back, and that was a big time opportunity as well, because we were number one in Wisconsin preseason. We had some really good guys. We had a big three. We had Chris Williams, who ended up being ACC Player of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Wake Forest. Yep.
Yep. Yep. We had Terrence Lewis, who went to Iowa State. We had Carlos Curtis, who went to East Tennessee State. Going back to my high school and being able to start in coaching and get my start there was huge, because obviously I was doing the finance deal, but then that kind of perked my ears up, so to speak, and said, maybe I could do this in college or whatever the opportunity presented itself. That high school experience propelled me because of how good our team was. And nationally, we were known because of the guys we had on our team.
Yeah. Then you got some college coaches coming to practice, and that also lights the fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And then they have to, the best recruiters, at least I should say a lot of the best for college recruiters, are building that relationship with the coaches, because if they don't have that relationship, like usually the high school coaches are the ones that are giving the college coaches some of the best information about the kid. Hey, he's looking at this school, he's thinking about this, because that high school kid's opening up to that high school coach. So now you got to build a relationship not only with the kid, the parents, but also the coach.
No doubt.
Yeah, you get in, you get some connections like that, and things can spiral up. I love the going from finance job, though, just because you know, a lot of times it takes everybody, you don't know, the hardest thing to do, and I've been telling my players this since they've graduated, the hardest thing to do is step out of being a basketball or any form of athlete and then have to go and work a job, because it completely changes your life. You go from knowing school to being around your friends 24/7 to being an athlete to figure the rest of it out. You have to now pay bills, you have to now pay student loans, you have to now pay all this stuff, and then you have to also figure out what you want to do in life at the age of 21, 22. What do you want to do? I don't know. Some people don't even know what they want to do until they're 50.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that was huge, just because of my trajectory as well, going from high school for a year, 2 years at Texas, and then I go junior college for 4 seasons, and then you go mid-major Division I, and now I'm back at high major at Wisconsin. So just seeing all the different levels as well is just a huge part of my perspective and my experience now.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
So going from those experiences that you just mentioned, like going from a mid-major, Northern Kentucky, then a high major, you have made the literal steps that everybody would dream of, right? Going from a high school, going from then from a high school to Texas, but then going from there and then just keep taking your steps up the ranks. How, you don't necessarily have to go into depth of how each one came about, but just like, what would your best advice for someone who is looking to make those jumps, someone who is looking to go from one step to the next and be able to move up those ranks? Is there anything that you would say that you did particularly that helped you move up?
Yeah, a huge part is the connections. That's no doubt. It's about who you know in a lot of ways. So making those connections early. And then when you're on a staff, like when I was a GA at Texas, I used to try to beat all those guys to the office. And I was successful probably 80, 90% of the time. I used to be the first guy in the office. Coach Smart would beat me sometimes. He would be the first one. But that was my goal, was being the earliest, being there the earliest and staying the latest. And I think showing guys that you're trustworthy, your work ethic, whether they ask you about an ATO or a baseline out of bounds, or whether they need something to be picked up, lunch, or if they forgot something at home, you're like, and they're already at the office, I'll go to your house and get it for you. Whatever it may be, you're never too big for a task, too big for a role. And I think I've done that pretty well early in my career. And that's why when your name gets brought up for certain jobs, what are they saying about you? What are they saying? I don't know. He shows up late sometimes. He isn't always. He doesn't do the work to the best of his ability. Whatever it may be, just do whatever task, whatever job at the highest level possible in the most efficient way. And I think be where your feet are. Don't always keep looking for that next job, because that next job is going to come. If you put in the work, if you put in the time, if your team's successful, that next job will come. And I think I'm proof of that, along with the connections mm-hmm. that I made along the way.
Yeah, for sure. No, the two words that come up here a lot are reliability and availability. But if you're not available, you can't be reliable because you're not available.
No doubt.
Those two things go hand in hand. A lot of people talk about that on there. So that's perfect, because it just matches what a lot of guys have shared that have made the strides that you've made at this point.
Sure, sure. I appreciate it.
So I want to jump into a little bit more of the current role, what you got going on, being the director of recruiting, scouting, just to give everybody a little bit more of a synopsis of just the recruiting side. We talk with people, but everybody has their own different theories, tactics, methods of how to recruit, or just specifics. Obviously, don't give too in-depth of specifics, because we don't want to get you in trouble here, but more just nowadays, it's a chaotic environment in the recruiting landscape, right? There are so many different things that are not only sitting in a kid's mind, but pulling them one different way, right? You got roster turnover. If they have a good season, they can move up, they can move down, whatever it is. The transfer portal, you got the NIL, all of that stuff is just really weighing and changing recruiting. How do you just individually, personally stay organized and keep that like long-term vision? Because I feel as a college or as a program, you want to hope that those kids that you're bringing in will stay 3-4 years. But realistically now, it's maybe not the case always. Like, how do you guys keep that long-term vision with a short-term mindset?
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of organization and staff meetings for everyone to be on the same page, especially in this new landscape where now we have a general manager. Now we have such a big staff. We have 7 coaches and a support staff and a GA managers, that whole deal. So it's about having a ton of staff meetings. And then obviously the 3 main areas are high school, international, and then portal. So having a list of guys in all those 3 areas, what you're looking for, the best fit, how is he athletically, what position would he play on the floor, how is he character-wise, how is he in school, that whole thing. I think just having a list of guys in all those areas is the best way possible. We consistently have staff meetings. We're focused on this season. Obviously, we have Marquette here at home tomorrow and the rest of the year, but you always try to keep an eye on next season, because it's about retaining your current players. There's always going to be some transfers along the way. You retain the ones that want to stay and want to be a Badger, but then you have to keep an eye on a couple international guys that can come in and fill a role, or potential portal guys that can come in and plug and play and fill a role. And then Coach Guard consistently says that he wants to continue high school pipeline for the player development, because that's what Wisconsin has been built on, is those guys that have stayed 3-4 years and developed along the way. Frank Kaminsky is a great example of a guy who didn't play as a freshman or a sophomore, and then he turns into the player of the year as a senior. I think he's the biggest example of that. Just having those three areas, guys in all three of those aspects, and then just using that, looking at this season, continuing to focus on these players, this locker room. I think that's the biggest thing, is the chemistry. And this is the first time that Wisconsin has had 8 new players in the program, because last year we had a bunch of returners and we only had 3 transfers. But this is the first time there's been a complete overhaul of the roster. But it's just about staying organized, keeping everyone on the same page, and always keeping an eye on next season.
Yeah, for sure. No, you're right. Wisconsin's always been good at the homegrown, not just state of Wisconsin homegrown, but just recruiting, you know, through the high school ranks in terms of just stacking that development year after year. And mm-hmm. that's why those teams have been so consistent in the past and continue to be. They talk about this in the NBA a lot, OKGs, like when they're in the draft room. What's an our kind of guy? OKGs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's an OKG for Wisconsin?
Character piece. That's huge for Coach Gard. How the kid interacts, how he responds. I think that's a huge piece of what Coach wants, because we want to see him have a bad game, and how he is when some adversity hits. How does he interact with his teammates? How does he act on the bench? Is he giving high fives? Is he clapping when they score? Is he doing all those little things, those details? Because when you come in at Wisconsin as a high school kid, especially, you probably aren't going to play a lot right away. That's the nature of it now, is we're bringing in older portal guys. We're bringing in older international guys. So as a high school kid, I know you got to shoot every time you wanted and you got to do whatever you wanted in high school, but that isn't going to be the case when you get in the Big Ten. That isn't. We got John Blackwell. We got Nolan Winter. We got Nick Boyd here. So those guys are going to be the main focus of the offense, main focus of the defense. But what are you doing, those small details, to help the team move forward, to help the team succeed? And I think it's the culture piece. That's the biggest thing, is the people in this program, the staff that we have, all great people, the players that we bring in. We want to bring in all high character, great people, good in the classroom, good in the community. So I think that's for sure the biggest piece that Coach Gard and the staff, we as a staff, want in all players.
Yeah. No, sad, man. That makes sense. All you got to do is watch you guys play, and there's a reason why Wisconsin's been so good for so long. And I'm sure Coach Ryan probably passed that character mm-hmm. torch piece down to Coach Gard, because mm-hmm. one thing you always know about Wisconsin, Doug, when you play them, you know exactly what you're going to get. It is smash mouth. It is physical. They're tough. They very rarely beat themselves. If you beat them, you're going to have to do it, because they're not going to help you. But it all fits in what he's saying, because they bring in guys that they know what they're going to get every day. You're not chasing guys down for, he missed three classes last week. You never had those conversations. Mm-hmm. Because now you're focusing on winning. So now those guys are handling their business. So now the talk is just about winning and getting better. Because you're not having maintenance talks for an hour and a half about, this guy might be gone by December. What's going on here? You know what? So it's pretty cool for you to say that. And especially, it's just a reason why that place has been what it's been. So that was a little nice little lift of the hood right there about the Badgers, man.
I was going to say, off of that, I have a question off of that, is when you're recruiting a kid, the kid can tell you he does X, Y, and Z. He shows up to class on time. He does all this stuff. Okay, maybe it's true, maybe it's not sometimes, right? A high school coach can do the same thing. Sometimes high school coaches also can fib a little bit, not saying a lot of them do, but they want to talk up their guys to get them to a good school, so then they look, it gets a little bit more. Sometimes happens, right? It is a thing. Who else do you go to and talk to get more information? Hey, is this kid truly who he is?
Yeah, everyone around him. High school coach, AU coach, parents, brothers, sisters, whoever's in that circle. I think, you know, everyone, like you said, will talk up their guy and try to get him, obviously, to the highest level. And now with the NIL, try to get him the most money that's available, whatever it may be. But finding out the real, I think you can find it. You can find it if you're looking for it, for sure. Just talking to as many people as possible. I think that's the biggest key. And then you'll be able to tell a lot about a kid, like I said, when you're watching him in a game where he's missed 3, 4, or 5 shots in a row. How is he responding? How is he interacting with his teammates? How is he acting on the bench? How is he responding to his coach when his coach gets on him a little bit? I think all of those are telltale signs of how he'll be when tough times happen, because they're going to happen. They're going to happen in at the high major level in the Big Ten. You're going to have rough patches. So it's all about how you respond to that and how you bounce back. And it's really easy to tell during a game when things aren't going his way, but you always want to cover all your bases and talk to as many people as you can around the recruit.
Yeah, for sure. A great source, high school custodians, because those guys, I'm telling you, when they're around, like the big part of what you're saying is, how does a guy treat someone that can't influence their future? And so when you find somebody that can't influence their future, now you ask that person, what's this kid like, or lady, what's that guy or girl? They'll tell you the truth, because it's nothing in it for them.
Yep.
You know, they're not getting the slice of the NIL loot. So they're like, you know what? Hey, coach, that's a great kid, man. He said, I'll let him borrow my keys to the gym, and they put him right back where I ask them to on the weekends. Or they'll say, you know what? I hope that kid does well. Pretty decent kid, coach. Not my cup of tea, because I see how they treat a lot of people around this school. But, hey, whatever. Hope they do well. So we really can't influence their future. And that's always a big character tell in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I've never gone the custodian route. That's good advice. I might have to try that. But I've gone the teacher, talking to different teachers and all of that. And they're the same way. The high school teachers can't get a part of that NIL deal or whatever, but they'll keep it real with how they are in the classroom. So that's good advice.
Exactly.
Yeah. You got to do Evan some Turner, snooping to ride the custodian's number, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I went to the school. I met with a guy. I just ran into him after a practice one time at St. Joe's in Westchester. Mm. And I said, tell me about Evan Turner. What's he like? And he just was gushing. The guy was just gushing about him. And I'm like, okay, enough said.
Yep. Yep.
And here we are, X amount of years later, his jersey's hanging in the shop, in a retired jersey. But anyway, no, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
character is a big deal.
Yeah, you definitely want the right people, because then you don't have to worry about once they come in, like as you were saying before, is this kid doing his academics? And then it allows the coaches to at least focus on something else rather than like his academics. Is he showing up on time? Is he doing this? Is he doing that? It just makes so much more peace of mind that you know these are going to get done. These people are going to show up. They're going to do their job. They're going to get out, and we're all going to be. And then everybody can just focus on basketball, which makes everybody's life so much easier, but that's not a perfect world always for a lot of organizations and a lot of different teams. So talk a little bit about just the balance, because this was always one thing that I was curious about, and I'll personally say still kind of learning from, and I feel like a lot of young coaches can learn this, is like the balance between when you're looking at a kid, and I'm just going to make up a hypothetical situation. Say you need a point guard right now, okay? And you're looking at high school point guards, but then there's this absolute stud who enters the portal at one point, but you've been recruiting these high school point guards, but then there's a stud in the portal. Which, how do you really balance that? We need a point guard, but we also want to have the best available talent. Is this kid the best available talent? Is this, you know what I mean? Like you weigh out the two. One's high school talent, but one has definitely shown he is capable of playing at the college level. Maybe this kid's not as good of a kid. Maybe there's a bunch of different things you can put in the equation, but how do you balance that, especially in just like you being in a high environment, the Big Ten?
Yeah, it's all about fit here. I think the high-end talent, if the character piece doesn't fit Wisconsin, we're going to back away. We're going to back off. So I think the biggest piece is the fit, and then how they'll be here as people, how they'll fit in with our staff, with the current team. So if there's a high-level portal guy and then the international guy who's a little under him, but the character piece is just so great and it's such a great fit, we're going to take the lesser guy. because he fits in with what we want to do and how we want to operate on a daily basis. And I think the best example of not getting the highest rated guy or not bringing in the top whatever, I think is John Tonji. I think that's the guy that he was the 200 ranked transfer. He had a up and down career because of injuries at Mizzou, at Colorado State. But we realized that his fit here would be, it would be such a piece that we changed the way we play a little bit with the ball screen, continuity offense, going a little more international. And he fit so well in ball screens. He was such a big physical guard that could get downhill, that could make shots. So his fit surpassed other guys who were seen as more talented. But the way he was as a person, the way he fit into our offense, the way he could fit into Wisconsin, fit into the community, I think was such a big deal for us. And obviously, he went from not playing much in Mizzou because of injuries, coming here and being all Big Ten, all American, picked in the second round by the Utah Jazz. So that just shows you what, you know, when people say the highest rated guy or whatever it may be, here it's all about fit. It's all about how does he fit with us. We aren't going to change for anybody. Obviously, Wisconsin's been Wisconsin for 25 plus years. It's been the same kind of deal. We change the way we play, but the fundamentals and the basics, the foundation is still the same. Fit is the biggest part of what we do here.
Absolutely.
One thing I love that you just said too is the trust. There was something I saw recently, and it talked about how the Navy SEALs would pick who their top guy is. And I was watching this the other day. The Navy SEALs would always take the person that they could trust the highest, although he might have had the lower skill set. They'll always take the person they can trust more because they know they can teach him the skill set. They can work with them on the skill set, but they know he's going to do what he needs to get done. They'd rather take the high trust, low skill set rather than take the low trust, high skill set. And that, I feel like that just clicked in my head as soon as you said that. That's a perfect replica.
For sure. And that goes back to the Tonji comparison. And even guys we have here this year with Nick Boyd, who played at two mid-majors and then came here. He was a perfect fit for our offense. And now he's blowing up in our offense, averaging, I think it might be over 20 points a game. And he hasn't played high major Division I basketball before. Obviously, he made a run at FAU. They went to the Final Four, that whole deal. But fit is a huge piece. Who you bring into your program and how they fit into what you want to do on the floor. And I think it's shown with the Tonjis, with the Boyds, even the Andrew Rohde, all those guys we've brought in this season as well.
There's a lot of people that have this scouting and recruiting role now. And like every year it's a different role just getting added to college basketball. It's probably not over with yet. In terms of talk about the scouting piece in terms of how that impacts your role, because we've talked about the recruiting side and you've done a tremendous job of sharing that. You have a dual role. And so obviously Doug was talking about balance earlier of who you take versus who you don't take. You know, now how do you balance the two roles in terms of, I know it's seasonal. One of them is a little bit more seasonal, but you still have to make sure you balance those two things as best you can. So talk a little bit more about the scouting side.
Yeah. So the scouting piece is twofold because it's scouting the high school, the international, and the portal. That's a part of the scouting piece. Just watching a ton of film, going out and seeing those guys live, if you can, wherever it may be, having our staff, having myself go out and see guys live. But then also during the season, opponent scouting. So I help out with whichever our assistants has a scout, I help those guys out with personnel, strengths and weaknesses for guys, what they do with threes, whether it's catch and shoot, whether it's off the bounce, just deep diving in the guards, the bigs, what they do well, what they don't do well. On the offensive side of the ball, I'm in charge of that, watching the opponent's offense. So breaking down what they do offensively and giving that to whoever has the scout, different clips, just watching probably 3, 4, 5 games, whatever we can get our hands on of the future opponents. And then once we have a full scout out, being the guy who reviews the whole thing and then hands that to the coaches and make sure that everything is all good on the same page. So just helping out whatever coach has a scout and then being the central hub of the whole recruiting and scouting, being the overview of it all and making sure it's all organized and right and making sure that it's that it's set in place well for the players to be able to dissect it and being able to execute our game plan on the floor.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you said that, because a lot of people think scouting and recruiting role is just basically centered on recruiting only and the scouting part of recruiting. And so the fact that you actually, there's two pieces to that, I'm glad you shared that, because it's almost the recruiting part of it, but you're almost doing like an advanced scouting in a sense, like trying to get ahead of the whole pattern as opponents are coming. You're helping that assistant get a step ahead by just being another set of eyes as well.
For sure.
Yeah, that's great. Great stuff.
So, Coach, one thing we like to normally do at the end is we call this new segment the hot seat segment. Sounds fun, right? Something for you to be able to just throw something at you. A couple questions, but more getting an idea of, or letting people see in real time, just like your thought processes. So really with the first one, just any coaches who are looking to get into the recruiting side of things, into what you do with the recruiting, with the whole scouting, all of that, or really just anybody as a coach in general, because everybody has to ultimately recruit. What would you say is a high quality trait or a good strength for a coach to have bringing into a recruiting role?
Work ethic, for sure. I think that's the biggest piece, is you have to put the time in if you want to recruit, because there's going to be some weekends where you're in a gym for 12, 13, 14 hours straight, whatever the rule allows you to be. There's going to be those weekends in July where you're there for a really long time. So it's stamina, it's work ethic, being able to obviously relate to different people, I think is a big part of recruiting. You're talking to parents, you're talking to parents who are 30, 40, 50 years old. You're talking to recruits who are 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. And obviously in the portal, it goes up to 22, 23, 24. So you're talking to different age groups, different backgrounds, different experiences. I think relatability is a huge piece, but the one that tops all is the work ethic, because you have to watch a ton of film, put in a ton of time, go see players live, talk to them on the phone, get to know them as people, get to know their circle. Now you get to know agents, the guys making deals. It's about the time you put in. I think that's the biggest piece of it all, is putting in a large amount of time with whatever it takes to get comfortable with saying he's our guy, he's a Badger, he'll fit in with what we do. That work ethic, knowing players in those three groups as well, I think is huge. The high school, the international, and potential portal guys is huge. Having a list of those guys and knowing who's out there, just in case something comes up, a need comes up, a spot needs to be filled, we have guys in those roles. Just, it goes back to the connections, it goes back to knowing a bunch of players, and then obviously putting in that time, and the work ethic piece is huge.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's perfect.
No doubt.
And so, off of that, something that we mentioned in the beginning, but we didn't necessarily talk on too much, but you had a stint as a head coach, right? I know you worked your way up. You were there for multiple years as an assistant, ultimately became a head coach. Just being that head coach, it was Wabash Valley College for people for reference. For being in that stint, is there anything you took away from that first year that you really now carry on, that you learned from?
Yeah, I know what every head coach goes through now. I think as a GA, a support staff, an assistant, you think you know what it is to move over to that seat. And I think everyone has the answers when you're not in that seat yet. But when you're in that seat, it's a different deal. It is. I think you don't know what you don't know until you experience that. And for myself, I ended up getting the job late. So I think I knew I was getting it probably over the summer, but it never actually officially happened until September. So I was the only guy on staff. It was me by myself as the head coach, but we had two players redshirt who were like my assistants, so to speak. I had two players help me out as assistant coaches who redshirted. And then I ran the whole deal myself. I drove the bus, did the academics, did every scout, obviously practice plans, workouts, did the laundry, swept the floor, did the whole deal. And like I said earlier, you can't be above any job, any task. And I think it taught me a lot about the game, about being a head coach. I got to use what I learned as an assistant at Wabash Valley, being with the players. I have familiarity with the players. I recruited a bunch of them. We had some guys returning, so that helped out a lot. But I got to use what Coach Smart, Coach Horn, Jay Lucas, what they did, what I saw, what I soaked up from those guys, and got to combine those guys and then put it into my own formula and be able to stir the pot myself, so to speak. And it was a big time experience. It was really good. We won 17 games. We were 17 and 13 overall. We started out really well. We started out 6-1, and then we hit a rough patch in the middle. We hit some adversity, and it teaches you a lot. It taught me a lot about myself, how I'll be able to communicate with the players, being able to switch some schemes, watch a ton of film of our games, of myself, how I could be better in practice. So it was a big time experience for me, just being a head coach and knowing what every head coach goes through and the decisions you have to make on a hourly basis, the different things that come up, especially in junior college. There's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of things that go on. So there's a ton of decisions that need to be made, but it was huge for me. And it obviously helped when I went to Northern Kentucky, and there were some times where I knew what Coach Horn was going through. And then obviously here, there are times where I know what Coach Guard is going through, because until you're in that seat, you really don't know. But I'm blessed to have had that opportunity as a head coach at a young age, being able to experience that and have that perspective now moving forward.
No doubt, man. Now, the two things that it teaches you is humility and empathy. There's two things being a head coach will teach you, is the humility part of, like you said, you don't know what you don't know. So the ultimate teacher, whether you're a player or a coach, the game is the ultimate teacher. But then it teaches you empathy, because when you've been one, now you're able to put yourself in that man or woman's shoes that you may be working for, be a better listener, helps you understand. Helps you maybe get a step ahead or a day ahead, or what do they need? What do they need that they don't know they may need? That's great you had that, man. That will, the best part is that's always going to stay with you, that experience. It's just going to help you be better and better. It's going to help you be better as you serve. It's going to be better as you collaborate. And it's going to help you be better as you give down, maybe to the people that have to answer to you. So it's going to help you in three different directions.
No doubt. No doubt. For sure.
And it's, as Mage always says, there is never a second first year as a head coach, right? There's always that first one. Once you get it out of the way, there's never another first. So first
never another year one. Until, that's right.
Yeah, until you get there'll that, be another that
year,
high major.
There'll be another year one.
Yeah.
There'll be another year one.
There'll be another.
But a different. It'll feel different, but it won't be like that first year. That's for sure.
No doubt. No doubt. You have that experience to fall back on for sure.
We appreciate you for being on here and taking some of the time out of your day. So thank you very much for not only just, hey, talking hoops. Like I said, we take a break from hoops to talk more hoops, but then also shedding some light on, you know, your past, some of the different things that you have learned, because there are people out there that can definitely resonate with it or are hoping to be able to be in a similar situation. So thank you again for being on here. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it. I listen to your podcast when I can, and appreciate you guys for doing all you can for the rising coaches out there. It's big time. And coach, enjoy that San Diego weather. We were out there for 5-6 days for that tournament. I know it's great. It's great.
Yeah, there. I'm sorry.
It's snowing here right now. I'm so sorry. Enjoy that.
Sorry. I got snow you. Too. It's man.
No, I'm sorry I missed you, man, but I knew you guys had a lot going on. That thing happened really fast. But very thankful for this, man. But more importantly, great to just reconnect with you. It's been a minute, and I'm thrilled for what you've been able to do to this point. You're just getting started, man. Really great to reconnect. I'm glad we got back together.
No doubt. No doubt. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And yeah. Thanks everybody out there for tuning in to another episode, the Rising Coaches Podcast. Again, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, all you coaches, keep working. Keep rising. We'll see you all soon. Have a good Christmas and have a good new year out there as well. Take care, everybody.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional 250 $50 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.